Well, I'm really happy to have Brock Osweiler with us. And it's not the Arizona State Times or the fact he just went into the Montana Football Hall of Fame or that he's an ESPN broadcaster. Here is somebody that I always talk about life balance. Doing this for 33 years here in the Valley and 40 plus years in the business, I see a lot of players that become what I say lost souls. They really don't know what to do when they're done playing the game. This guy is involved with a lot of things. And before I get into even football and broadcast, asafepool.com is something to check out because drowning prevention here in Arizona, and Brock didn't ask me to say, hey man, you got to talk about a safe pool. Me looking at it saying, guys, all right, so let's just start with the businessman, Brock Osweiler, and how you got involved with this.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, a safe pool is really a personal thing. And it started with my two little girls. Right now, my girls are 7 and 4. Excuse me. And, you know, when they were born, we needed to get a pool fence. And fortunately for us, we didn't have to look very far. Really good family friend of ours owned a company, A Safe Pool. And so I reached out to him. He came and installed the fence. We've since moved around a couple times. So I've had a couple pool fences over the years. And wow, excuse me. We got something going on today. But I realized how important water and pool safety is, you know, just by having my own kids. And so there was an opportunity, to make a long story short, to buy one of the A-Safe pool franchises. And, you know, you just mentioned it, work-life balance, life after football. Business has always been something that has really piqued my interest. Mm-hmm. I tried, when I was done playing football, to simply just be a dad and, you know, not put a whole lot on my plate. And that really didn't fit my personality. I like a challenge. I like something to put my focus on, to not just my family, not just watching football games, but pursuing other avenues and experiences. So A State Pool was something that just made a lot of sense. And when the opportunity came to buy the rights to the Phoenix metro market, it was a no-brainer, and it's a really exciting opportunity.
You're too young to retire from everything. Come on, man. Chasing kids around after playing football, I get it. As you get, you can only play so much golf. Like, I'll talk to players, oh man, I'm playing golf, my handicap's down. How you really doing? Like, 6 months later, Brad, I am so bored out of my mind.
Right. You're right.
It's just like, there's so much more to life than, you know, what your handicap is or sitting there analyzing football games all day and all night, which you can do and I do, and we enjoy it. We enjoy it, but you got to find those things. So asafepool.com is something right off the top I wanted to acknowledge, because I always like to see athletes that make the transition. Broadcasting, what drew you just to the point of, I want to go for this? And now you're a riser in the industry, Brock. You're moving up the food chain. This week you have TCU at Utah. This is not the Wednesday night game. No offense to the Mid-American or any of that. They're putting you in some spots now.
Yeah, you know, I've been really fortunate to get to cover some really good football games. And it's been a lot of fun. Going back to your initial question, how did I get involved? I think it was really a process of elimination. So I'm in my third season in the booth. And so if you go back, I've now been retired from the National Football League for 5 seasons. And when I was done playing, I wasn't necessarily ready to be done playing. And I think that's how it happens for most players that get the opportunity to play in the NFL. So I still had an itch to be involved with football in some capacity. I wanted to be involved, and it was a process of elimination. I looked at coaching right away, like so many players do. As much as I would love to coach, and trust me, it really pulled on my heartstrings. It ultimately just didn't make sense for me, because, you know, we talked about work-life balance, and my family and my little girls mean so much to me. And when you're coaching, you know, those guys, they sacrifice so much. You know, they're at the office 16, 17, 18 hours a day, almost year round. And so Ultimately, I wasn't willing to give up the time with my little girls at home. So coaching didn't make sense. I looked into scouting. I looked into coaching high school football, a lot of different avenues.
Sure.
Coaching guys one-on-one. And, you know, just to be honest with you, Brad, nothing really made sense. Nothing really pulled on me and said, this is what I should do. So I was actually in a conversation with my agent from my playing days, and he just said, hey, have you ever considered broadcasting? And I said, well, that's the dark side, the media. I'm not going to the dark side. But the more I looked into it, it seemed like it could make a lot of sense. And so I went out to LA to Fox Studios. I did an audition with them, went back to Bristol, Connecticut, did an audition with ESPN. Fortunately, they must have seen something, offered me a job, put together a package for me, and away we went. And now we're 2.5 years in. Like we were saying before we got on the Zoom, you know, I learned so much every week. And, you know, it's one thing to know football and understand it at a high level. And then there's a completely different thing in being able to get that out in succinct sentences, quick hitters, in and out, the timing of a telecast, all the components that go into it. So I'm learning so much every week. I watch my tapes back every Sunday and Monday, trying to get better. I'm trying to learn from the best. I never miss a Monday night football game. I always want to hear what Troy Aikman has to say. I watch Kirk Herbstreit and Greg McElroy and just all the guys at the top, because I'm young, just getting my feet wet, and I have a lot to learn.
Have you watched the tape back and said, oh my gosh, what was I doing there?
All the time. Yeah. All the time. And in fact, this last week, you know, I had Cal at Pittsburgh, great finish to the game, came down to a late fourth quarter play. And you watch it back and, you know, there's some good things and you want to build upon them. And then, yeah, there's plenty of cringeworthy moments. And then moments where you wish you would have said something else, because it was a great opportunity to educate the viewer. But that's all part of the process. And you got to take the wins with the losses. And I think the biggest thing, like anything in life, you know, learn from those mistakes, learn what you would like to do in that moment, and make sure it doesn't happen moving forward, and get that right comment in the next telecast.
Well, and it goes back to when you watch game tape the following, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, is what was I doing there? So you've already been through it, and I think you sound great and you sound very comfortable. You have TCU at Utah this week. And so I'm wondering, you know, the prep that you get as announcers, and I've done a lot through the years with lots of guys. Brock Huard is a pretty regular guest with me, and many others. I'm not gonna be name dropping all day, but it is, you get the chance on a Friday for a college game or a Thursday to be either be in person or Zoom or on the phone. So if you're sitting across from Cam Rising today, knowing what he just went through at ASU and knowing that he could come back and play another year, given your lens of how your career went, what would you tell him?
Well, this is a unique situation because Cam Rising's been in college football for a very long time.
Yep.
You know, and watching the game Friday night that he played against Arizona State, you know, I stayed up way past my bedtime on the East Coast to be able to catch that Friday night game. You know, the situation's tough, and it's going to be a personal decision for Cam. You know, does he feel – I think the first question he needs to ask himself is, can his body handle another season of college football? You know, we all know the success he's had, and when he's healthy – he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country and certainly one of the best leaders in the country. And that definitely comes across. But, you know, you go back, he won the back-to-back Pac-12 championships, went to back-to-back Rose Bowls. Unfortunately, he was hurt in both those games, but he missed all of last season. I think he got to play in two games this year before being injured, out with a finger injury for a couple of weeks, comes back, hurts his other knee that was healthy against Arizona State in the first quarter. And you saw what that injury did to him. He couldn't move around. He couldn't run. He was a sitting duck in the pocket. So moving forward, when you talk about next season, is he going to try to come back and apply for a medical redshirt? You know, he just needs to ask himself, does my body have more football in it? And then if he thinks it does, You know, that's going to be a big conversation with head coach Kyle Whittingham, because they do have a young, very talented quarterback on the roster sitting behind Cam and Isaac Wilson, Zach Wilson's little brother. He's a true freshman. He's already started three games this year due to Cam's injuries that I spoke about. And he's put some really good things on tape. He's going to be a big-time player. Now, he's still young. He's learning. So turnovers are the issue right now with Wilson. But he's got a really bright future ahead of him. And so that conversation with Coach Whittingham and Cam, if Cam decides that he would like to try to come back, you know, maybe Kyle's ready to turn the page and go with the young guy and who shows a lot of potential. So I don't know. I would say this, just as a former quarterback and somebody that loves the game and appreciates the game of football and great players, my heart goes out to Cam Rising. You know, I know he was looking forward to coming back, being healthy. Utah was the favorite to win the Big 12 conference at the beginning of the year. And to see him go out the way he currently is, just banged up and injured.
Sure.
I feel for him.
Two other things will get you out of here. Brock Osweiler with us for a couple of minutes. Have you watched much of Arizona State being on the East Coast? What do you make out of the job Kenny Dillingham is doing?
Yeah, I do my best. It's hard, you know, with me calling games on Saturdays as well. But I always do my best to try to stay in the know and see what they're doing. Coach Dillingham's done a fantastic job. He really has. And I think the exciting thing that he has going, you know, and he hasn't shied away from this publicly. He said, listen, the gold standard on the West Coast for the last decade or so has really been Utah. And in a lot of ways, Oregon as well. But going back to the Pac-12 days, you know, Utah was winning the championship. So, you know, he said the gold standard's Utah. And they win games by being disciplined, being fundamentally sound, and being tough and physical. And that's what I want to bring to Tempe. It's one thing to say that that's what you want to do, and then it's another to do it. But he's done it. If you watch how ASU beat Utah last week, they beat them at their own game. You know, not only did they match Utah's physicality, but they exceeded it at times. They're running the football at a very, very high success rate. You know, you look at what Cam Scadaboo's doing. That's what the Utah running backs have done over the years. That's what the offensive line's done. So for Kenny, you know, three wins a season ago to already 5-5-1 on the season, going on the road this week to Cincinnati, a really good ball club who's also starting to turn it around, but it's a very winnable game. So the fact that, you know, going into year two, you could be bowl eligible halfway through the season. Kenny Dillingham's doing a fantastic job.
Are you plugged in with the program, Brock? Are you just in that space where you've got your daughters, you've got a business, you're doing ESPN, you really can't be around it much? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, of course I spread myself thin. And yes, I try to do as much with the program as I possibly can. I have a great line of communication with Coach Dillingham. He's been absolutely fantastic. I thank him for that. We talk often. We see each other. I try to get down to campus as much as I can. Check out practices. So still trying to do everything I can for the Sun Devils.
Last question. What do you make out of just college football? You've said something a couple minutes ago about the former Pac-12, like we're graybeards now because it's gone, right? 13 months ago. But what do you just make out of the state of college football? Some people think it's the worst and it's headed down over a cliff. And I can see that argument. The other side of it is every weekend is compelling with this expanded playoff where you have teams like Arizona State who's still in the race for the playoff in the middle of October. I'm curious, what do you make out of the game?
Well, I think we would need at least an hour to dive fully into this conversation because I love having it. You know, I know how much you love football. I love football, especially the college game. It's just so special. The traditions, the pageantry, everything that's involved with it. But I'm glad you brought up the playoffs. That's where I would like to start because it's about damn time we expand the playoff. You know, I was never a big fan of the old BCS system. I just didn't think it was right. You lose one game by 1 point to a good opponent and you're already out of the national title conversation. Didn't like that model. The 4-team playoff. Well, it was better than the BCS, but to me, it was still a broken system. And in my eyes, just look back to last season. Yep. Georgia loses one game the SEC title game by 3 points to Alabama, and they're not in the playoff after basically winning every game over the previous 2.5 seasons. So it's a broken model. Now you expand it to 12 teams, and I love it. I think this is where it needs to be. Maybe there's a conversation for 14 teams. I don't think 16 is where you need to go at the FBS level, but it's compelling. It's exciting. The storylines around it. I mean, just look, go back to Georgia. Okay, Georgia loses an early season game to Alabama. Great matchup. They're not out of the playoff conversation yet. And I think what you get with that is you're also going to get these teams that aren't afraid to schedule each other.
Yep.
You know, you see Texas going up to Michigan. Well, Michigan loses that game. They're not out of the playoff race yet. It's a good quality opponent. So you're going to get fun matchups. And then come December when the playoffs start, oh, man, it's going to be so exciting. And I think the most exciting part about the playoffs will be the first round home playoff games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in that first round, you're going to get maybe a home playoff game in Happy Valley up in Pennsylvania. Maybe you'll get a home playoff game, you know, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Like, what is that atmosphere going to be like? So exciting, a lot of fun. So I like the expanded playoff. But you're right. There's also a lot of complications with the game of college football right now. Conference realignment. You know, the game is no longer regionalized. You're breaking up historic rivalries. Like I said, we would need a full hour to dive into it. But even with the conference realignment, the transfer portal, NIL, I do think we're slowly getting to a place. You're seeing all the things in the news, whether it's revenue sharing, whether it's putting parameters and reporting things that you have to do with NIL moving forward to try to make the game better, to put some parameters and a fence up around the game. We're still in a great spot. And like you said, at the end of the day, college football comes down to the games on Saturdays. And this has been one of the most exciting seasons in my personal opinion in recent memory.
You were just at Pitt. I'm looking at Army, Navy. Yeah. You know, the fans out here in Tempe that are saying, hey, we're actually alive. And I find the college game much more desirable than the NFL in this day and age. It's the excitement on campus and all that stuff. So we could do an hour on this, and maybe down the road you'll come back on and we'll chop it up again. I appreciate your time and your insight. Best of luck to you and everything you're doing, Brock. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate you having me.
Brock Osweiler, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Goody is with us. And I just love having Bill on through the years of doing this. But when I got back, I got this little note that Arizona Podcast Valley 101 has a new host to answer burning questions. Media columnist Republic Ready to tackle your Arizona questions is host of the Valley 101 podcast. So it's not like Bill's arrived. Bill arrived years and years and years ago. But you're now, like, you have your own show, which is cool. Not that you haven't had platforms in the past. So what is this all about? Management come down the hall and say, you're doing this? Or how'd this go?
Pretty much. we've had other hosts throughout the years, and some people left. And I had wanted to do a podcast of some sort for a long time. And a lot of times, you know, the thinking was, well, we just don't have the manpower right now to produce another whole new podcast, you know, and all that stuff. And in my head, I was thinking, oh, come on, how hard can it be? And now that I'm doing it, it's like, it's really hard. And I completely understand what the podcasting part, much as you know from doing a show like this, that's like 10% of it. that's the fun part. There's a whole lot that goes into it that if you've never done it, or if you just listen to them, and I love listening to podcasts. I mean, you can really tell the ones that are well produced, and you can tell the ones that people have put some time into making them sound good. And
Is that a swipe at me?
No, yours is good. I meant to ask you that. I want to ask you all these technical questions.
Oh, here we go. Do you have any idea what I'm doing? Come on, Bill.
Yours ends up looking professional. It looks good. And you do all this stuff. It's like, how do you know how to? I mean, I assume that you know how, the way people know how to do anything. You just do it until you get it right. Right. I mean,
Well, you know the whole thing about assuming. So, no, it's no, but here's in all seriousness. When I saw that you're going to do a podcast, I will listen to yours. There are way too many podcasts, just so we're being honest. Everybody's got a microphone. Everybody's got a this and a that. And it doesn't matter. In my world, it's I don't care how many people subscribe. I don't. If somebody's going to show up and be their genuine self, which as long as I've been talking with you and have gotten to know you, you're your genuine self. So when I saw your first topic was, are the Cardinals going to be any good? Like, that's just like, thank God. Okay. Because when I get in town here, when I see everybody dressing in red and white and saying, go Cardinals and our Cardinals and all that stuff. I did a podcast the other day and somebody said, are you going to call them your Cardinals or our Cardinals or your Cardinals? And it's just, if they win, they're mine. And Michael doesn't like that. But when you're as bad as they've been through the years, you have to have a little bit of levity. And I thought you have levity about you. And at the same time, you'll cut through the crap and say, okay, what are we exactly doing here? They've lost 16 of 19 at home. But I know that I would think, without putting words into your mouth, that you're going to be able to pivot just as easily from the Cardinals Chargers to we're 20 days away from the election to what's going to be coming out at Christmas to I went and ate over at this restaurant. Here's the 10 best brownies in town, right? Like you're going to be able to do everything.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the whole point of the podcast is the gist of it is we answer a question. Ideally, that it comes from, you know, that was a real question that somebody asked, are the Cardinals ever going to be good? And I mean, it's a question that a lot of people, it's a question you've asked. It's a question that you and I have attempted to answer on this show before. But people send in questions or maybe I have questions. You know, I've lived here for a long time, but I don't know all there is to know by far about Arizona. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this when we were going to talk. You and I have both been here a pretty long time, right? Mm-hmm. But in some ways, when you come here, and this is true of anybody, when you come here, a newcomer, and when we came here, we were young, right? I mean, we were younger people, obviously. I mean, that's the way the world works. That's the way clocks and calendars work. But part of me still feels like, but because of those people that we met when we were young and we were first here, I still feel kind of like a newcomer. You know what I mean? It's like, I still feel like I've got a lot to learn. And because while, you know, just by osmosis, just by being here for this is 34 years for me, I've learned some. But the kind of cool thing and interesting thing to me about this and fun, I hope, is not only talking about the old stuff, but learning stuff that's new as well.
Yeah, no, I've been here 31 years and it's the, you came from San Diego, really, where it's beautiful. And like, yeah, when you're 24, try buying a house in San Diego. And by the way, it's not a great sports town. They don't have great sports facilities. Being mentored by Jerry Colangelo, even when we would spar and fight on the air, but he mentored me on some of the business side. When you see the value of mega events and sports and what it means to our state, Bill, you know, the hotels being filled, the heads on beds and all that stuff. And so it's more than just, for me, it's more than just games. I think for you, you know, you've always been curious. That's the idea of doing this. Like you could sit across from somebody. I think it was when I was a kid, I was running Larry King's board, not like in person, but I was one of the affiliates, like 18 years of age. And I'd sit there and I'd listen to him interview people. And then I heard him get interviewed and he said, you know, I never have a list of questions. My producer comes in and says to me, this is who you're going to interview. And then I just talk to him. I don't have it all scripted out. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I think you're somewhat the same way. Yeah, you'll probably show prep. But if you had on a moment's notice, which in doing the podcast world, if you're chasing a big guest and you know this is a movie critic, sometimes they get backed up. Sometimes they miss getting to you. And then you get this phone call on a Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. out of the clear blue sky. And it's an A-list celebrity that everybody and their brother would want to have. And you've got them. And now rather than having your, you know, however you recorded podcasts, however you wrote your notes out, now you can just do this. And I find it to be so freeing. And then you just go back and you edit out the extraneous stuff and away you go.
Or even better, a really good producer edits out the extraneous
stuff. Well, that's true. That's true.
No, I think you're right. And I think that this is what in journalism classes, I always tell them, sure, you need to prepare. You need to be knowledgeable about the person you're talking to, or you're gonna sound dumb, and you don't want to sound dumb. I can sound dumb without any help. I don't need to accelerate that process. But the but if you've got a list of questions, they're just a guide. You know, they're not a structure that you can't break away from. If you're talking to a guy running for mayor, and you ask him, you know, what's your plan to lower taxes in Phoenix or whatever, and if his answer says, well, you know, I've been thinking about that, but I'm a little bit worried about, I killed my neighbor's dog the other day, and I'm worried if that hey, I don't know how that's going to play, you know. And then you don't want your next question to be, so back to the taxes.
Yes.
You know, you got to let it be. I think it's like anything. They say this about acting, and that you have to listen.
Yes.
You have to go. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll transcribe an interview I've done with somebody, and I'll catch myself in a spot where I didn't listen, like where they said something and I should have pivoted more strongly to that. And I just kick myself. It's like, oh man, that was such a good opportunity. So, you know, as well as I do, probably better than I do, you don't get a million shots with these people. So you need, you know, you kind of need to make it good when you get that shot.
But I think you do have to, like you and I are just conversing. We're not sitting here saying, I'm going to talk to Bill. And I don't rehearse. I don't tell. If I have a PR person say, what are you going to ask? It's like, this is the wrong show. Just not doing that. If you're going to come in here and we're going to chat and yeah, we'll plug whatever it is you're plugging. If it's a book interview, I'm not going to give away the whole book. I think that's disrespectful to the author. They're there to pitch their product and I'm there to say, this is either really good or not. It's like you with movies. And, you know, as people are jumping in on this, like what's Bill doing next? It's the Arizona Podcast Valley 101. He is the new host, Bill Goodykoontz, Goody at the Movies, Goody on Politics, Goody as chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central, all the things for the years I've called you. So I don't know if I should call you the Swiss Army knife now. Just we've got the Swiss Army knife coming on. But
that's Jody Jackson. That's
oh, that's true. You know, Jody every Monday, she is that. Do you want to sit across from politicals, athletes, actresses, all of it? Or do you want to say, let's go back to the person who's running for mayor of, let's just pick a small community, Levine, and say, so, yeah, I could see that you're curious about it. And some weeks it's going to be, or some episodes, I would think, you're going to have this big mother A list. And some weeks you're going to have a, who is this? And I, for me, I love those type of shows. I don't, you know what you're walking into if you get George Clooney for 6 minutes. You know that. And people are going to be like, oh, look at all the views, all the clicks, all the impressions. Yeah, he didn't say anything.
And only in rare cases do you get something that the 30 other outlets didn't get. You
know? Correct.
Every now and then you do. Brad Pitt once gave me a really cool interview because we were both tired and it was just funny and we were being ourselves. And I was just thinking, Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford for one of those offshoot movies that they were doing. They spent the whole time making fun of my name in like kind of a funny and a nice way. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, like, 20-year-old me would have thought this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. But adult me, who is trying to get a story, I was like, guys, you're killing me. You got to answer in a way that I can use the answer. And they just, you know, it was one of those, it was the Blade Runner sequel to the sequel to the sequel or whatever. And I just couldn't get anything out of it, but it was fun.
Just to be clear for the audience, Bill was probably given 5 minutes with them or 10 minutes.
It's a little more than that, but yeah. Yeah, and they just wouldn't stop. And it wasn't like it wasn't like the way people made fun of my name in the third grade. it was in a smarter, funnier way, but they just could not stop. And I was like, guys, you are killing me here. So at that point, what can you do? I just made that the story, right? I mean,
it's but when you go, when the Super Bowl is here, mega events, and you go sit in the first row at the 50-yard line when there's an empty seat, okay? You've done that.
I've done that.
And can you go take that and say, I'm going to go, I don't know. It's like me with Brock Purdy. Yeah, I went and stood on high school sidelines when he was a junior and there's two people in the stands because you just kind of looked at him and said, there's something different about this kid. Are you going to go down that path?
Yeah. I mean, I think as long as, you know, it's funny. It kind of goes back to this, but I used to write this sort of general interest features column, and they came to me and they said, would you like to be the TV critic? And at first I thought, I don't know if I really, you know, at the time I didn't watch that much TV or anything. A friend of mine at the LA Times said, oh, no, that's a great job. And I said, why? And he said, because everything is on TV. And if you can just, all you have to do is you can write about whatever you want. You just have to figure out a way to frame it through TV. And, you know, and it shouldn't be that hard. I feel like that's sort of what this is. As long as I can get it back to answering a question, it can be anything. Now, it needs to be Arizona and or Valley related because it is Valley 101. It's not, you know, Connecticut 101 or whatever. But although I like Connecticut, but the my son goes to school there. I wouldn't mind doing a couple episodes up there. Yeah. But it's wide open as far as I'm concerned. And I think as far as the folks who are my bosses are concerned, we just want it to be fun and we want it to be interesting and we want it to be informative.
Are you 100% in control of the show, or do you have people at corporate saying, hey, we want this guest, that guest?
No, nobody does that. It's like anything else. We have meetings where we talk about topics and stuff, but I'm expected to come in with the topics, right? I mean, that's, and then nobody tell, you know, I mean, you kind of have to, if you're an editor, you kind of have to trust your staff to go out and like know what they're doing, you know?
Yes.
When I was an editor, I found that very difficult. That's why I wasn't an editor for very long, but no, I've got
election day, Bill. I could see you on election day. I could see you doing a Valley 101 with two people walking out who are 101s at voting. I could see you doing that. And
I'd like to talk to one of those guys sitting in the back of a pickup truck who says he's monitoring the election. That's who I'd really like to talk to.
Sure, but I think you can have a civil conversation with somebody who believes that the elections were rigged, and you won't lose your mind over it. Or do you think in Valley 101, okay, I'm going to be able to actually sit with somebody and say, why are you doing this?
I hope that I would be able to say, why are you doing this? But at the same time, I hope it would be very, that it would be civil. And this is something that I'm sure you've dealt with before, and anybody who's dealt with the public in a way that can be adversarial at times. I mean, I get a lot of hate mail, you know, I get a lot of, you know, calls and stuff, people who are mad about something I wrote. If you respond in a reasonable way, most of the time, that goes a long way towards sort of smoothing things out.
Mm-hmm.
There is the occasional parts. Some people, there just ain't going to be any fixing it. I mean, they're just going to, they've insulted you. They've said something really vile. Maybe they've threatened you, whatever it is. My guess is you're not going to reach that person. And my feeling is you probably don't want to reach that person. that's not the person I want, you know, to have a beer and nachos with or whatever. But otherwise, I think, I think that I do want the conversations to be reasonable, and I want them to be civil, and I do want them to be conversations. I mean, but mostly I've done, I guess, 3 episodes now, you know, that they haven't all aired. Only one has aired, but it really is me asking them questions about stuff that I just want to know.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. Bill's launched his new podcast with, of course, the Arizona Republic, Arizona Podcast, Valley 101. It is now out. I'll get you out of here off of this. So why are the Cardinals not good, and will they ever be good? How did that go? I have not heard it yet.
It's interesting. I looked at the past and looked at the future. I talked with Bob McManaman, who has covered the Bob McManaman and I, when I moved to sports, Bob and I shared, and this is how long ago it was, we shared a computer and a desk, but we also shared a phone, and we had to take each other's messages for, you know, and that sort of thing. But Mac, I talked to Mac about a lot about sort of the past, and, you know, he had some really funny stories about Joe Bugle not being particularly happy with him and about some things he'd written. And then I talked to Teo Mackey, who covers them now for us. And they both, I mean, the thing that you can't get around, but a lot of it had to do with the ownership, particularly under Bill Bidwell, that he, you know, he just wouldn't spend to sort of modernize the team and the modernize the franchise, I should say, not just the team, but the franchise itself. And that maybe Michael is making steps in that direction. Maybe not, but what the real key here that everybody agreed on is consistency. And not the kind of consistency. This kind of struck me because sometimes you're in the middle of it, you don't even notice, I think. I just hadn't realized they'd gone 3-14 both of the last two seasons. And if you had asked me to guess, I would say, you know, I don't know, 7-10, something like that. You know, I didn't realize that they had been that bad and that consistently bad. What they want is, aside from one or two good seasons here and there, a consistent, you know, don't have to be a Super Bowl contender every season, but at least be competitive every season. And realistically competitive, not in that everything has to break their way. You know, if one thing goes wrong, if Marvin Harrison Jr. gets a concussion, well, then that's, you know, you're done for the next 2 weeks or whatever. It can't be like that. It has to be consistent and has to remain that way.
Yeah, I think it's just, this is what it is. You know, they've lost 16 of 19 at home. What do you want? And the stuff that's happened off the field, it's like people say, why can't Arizona State sell out their stadium? Because the general public who has a life, who is busy, who's raising their kids and doing their thing, all they heard was scandal. They don't read and listen every single day saying that things are turning the right direction. So when Dr. Crow just turned a blind eye to the cheating that was going on under Ray Anderson and Herm and Antonio and just the complete incompetence, yeah, you're going to have more Utah fans in the lower bowl. And you can show photos of the student section all day long to try to make it look like it's full. It's not. And I feel like in the Cardinals, it's the same case. We've seen the movie The Titanic before. We know what happens in the movie The Titanic. The boat sinks. But we're going to sit there and we're going to watch it every time it comes on, even though we know the ending. The boat sinks. And every so often, the boat doesn't sink. 2009, the Super Bowl. It's a plot twist. Like, I went and saw Juliet on Broadway with my wife. It had a great plot twist to it. I don't know if you've ever seen that play or not. But it's, what if Juliet wasn't killed and they played 80s and 90s? Or she didn't kill herself. Well, they played 90s and 2000s and Shakespeare wrote a different ending with his wife. It was... Sometimes you do have a different ending, you know, and so I don't know. I think you're going to be great at it. This is not one of these a podcast that lasts for 5 episodes, and it doesn't matter if one person downloads it. It may matter to your bosses, or if 100,000 people download it. It doesn't matter. Just be you. That's it. So
well, let's shoot for that 100,000 side, though.
Yeah. There's probably some incentives built in there. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Here's Bill Goodykoontz. And again, make sure you check it out. Arizona Podcast Valley 101. He is the new host. Burning Questions over at AZ Central. And we're back with more after this timeout.